Hello, Archives Outside bloggers. I'm Fiona Sullivan, and I'm here today with Anthea Brown and Wayne Doubleday.
Hello.
Hello, everyone.
And we'll be conducting our first interview in what will be a series to celebrate State Records' 50th anniversary and the 48th anniversary of State Records New South Wales' involvement in regional New South Wales by doing a series of interviews about the regional repositories that are in our network. So, Wayne, how did the repository evolve?
Basically, the CSU Regional Archives, as it is known now, started in 1973 as the Riverina Special Collection, which was in the library of the Riverina College of Advanced Education, or RCAE, and it is actually a precursor institution of Charles Sturt University. The real driving force behind it was actually Dr. Keith Swan, who was a lecturer in history at the Wagga Teachers College, which was taken over, if you like, by the Riverina College of Advanced Education in 1972. So, yeah, the archive dates back to 1973, but it wasn't until 1977 that the archives became an autonomous entity within the library and was formally known as the Riverina Archives at that time. And then a year later in 1978, arrangements were formalised with the then Archives Authority of New South Wales for the Riverina Archives to become a regional repository and house the state archives from the Riverina and Murray regions.
Okay, that's good. It's been there for quite some time. You must get a lot of regulars in, do you?
We do. Yes. We have around about last year, I think, or the year before, we had just under 2,000 regular users for the year, for the calendar year, and that's an increase on, say, 4 or 5 years ago when we were only getting roughly 800 a year. So usage is good and it's increasing, which
yes,
is great.
That's great. How long have you worked there?
I've been at the Regional Archive since 1998 in a number of different jobs, I suppose, a number of different guises. I began working there casually when I was undertaking my honours degree in history, and I was lucky enough at the end of 1998 to get a full-time position as, I think, the archives officer or something like that, or the administrative assistant or archives officer, something like that, back in 1998. And since that time, I've mostly been in access and reference services positions, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But these days, or since 2006, I've actually been in the manager's position. And that basically involves an oversight of all the activities, be they of the archives, be it staffing, budget, operational, or just day-to-day administrative tasks.
So you must have a really good handle on the types of records that are held in your collection, given all the different areas you've worked in.
I'd like to think so, yes, hopefully. There's three main categories of records that we collect. The first of those is being affiliated with the university. We have university records, and including the precursor institutions of Charles Sturt University, which date right back to the experiment farms in the 1890s. So the university records can include things like graduation programs, annual reports, any publications the university produces, old student results and transcripts, that sort of thing. The second category is that, as we're a regional repository for State Records New South Wales, we also look after state records from the Riverina and Murray regions, and that is the inactive records from the state government agencies, from the state government department agencies, including Department of Lands, Department of Education, local government, health, courts and police records. Just to name a few. And thirdly, what we call private and regional records that we also collect from our collecting regions, which are non-government and non-university records. So basically anything that doesn't fit into the first two categories can fit into the third. And they can be absolutely anything. And amongst those three categories, we have all different sorts of formats, be they paper documents, photos, maps, plans, registers, volumes, slides, glass plate negatives, even 8 and 16 millimetre film. So it's a pretty diverse collection from a diverse area, and I think that's what makes it such a great collection.
So your private records in particular are very diverse, aren't they?
They are, yes. I mean, we've got anything from cultural organisations to sporting bodies to religious groups to politicians, you name it, hopefully it's there.
Station records?
Station records, yes. The real jewel in the crown there is Tubbo, the Tubbo Station. That collection in itself is well over 300 Type 1 archive boxes itself. So it's probably the big one. Which gets the most use, but we do actually have a number of pastoral collections as well. Yeah.
Given the extent of your collection, I've got two questions here. What is the most frequently requested archive, and what is your most strangest request?
The most frequent would probably be anything to do with genealogy. I think it's the BDMs, it's the convict records or the shipping records that are made up or that make up the archives resource kit. But also possibly anything that has a real local bent or centres around Wagga. Perhaps land records are also another very, very popular request, and particularly newspaper articles and photographs that appeared in the local newspaper, the Daily Advertiser. We get a lot of requests for those. As far as the strangest request I've had, there has been a few, but it's probably not so much a strange request as a misconception, and it's got to do with our title being Charles Sturt University Regional Archives. There's a misconception out there, and it's happens on a regular basis. We get inquiries about the original records of Captain Charles Sturt, and the fact that because we are the Charles Sturt University Regional Archives, people have the misconception that we have his original diaries and original ephemera related to Charles Sturt, and that's not true, we don't. But we can put people in touch who, and I think from memory, it may be the South Australian State Library or someone who actually has a large, and probably the Mitchell as well, but probably has a large amount of his holdings, but we actually don't. So it's not a strange request, but it's one that keeps coming up. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Great. So as part of the celebration of the 50th, we asked you to bring or present an item from your collection that was had a story attached to it or that was particularly noteworthy. Can you tell us about the item that you've chosen?
Yeah, sure. It's the item we have is the 1849 original surveyor's map of Wagga Wagga. And the interesting thing about it is it's the only one that we know of that we have in our collection that actually misspells Wagga. And we don't know why it misspells Wagga, but it spells Wagga W-O-G-G-A rather than W-A-G-G-A. As I said, it's the 1849 original surveyor's map, and interestingly, a lot of the streets that are actually on there never actually eventuated, which I can't explain why, but the interesting part about it is that Wagga was actually gazetted in 1849 that year, so it's very popular with our researchers to see the original plan for Wagga. We did actually do a little bit of research into some of the street names, and it turned out that the surveyor had actually served in the the Crimean War, and a lot of the street names are actually the surnames of the soldiers he served with in the Crimean War. So that's where a lot of the names come from, for example, Fitzmaurice and Gerber Street and Kincaid. But yeah, it's an interesting anomaly and one we haven't actually been able to fully explain, so...
Well, maybe one of our listeners here might be able to help.
That'd be great.
Definitely.
Moving on to online questions. We've got here, is your repository online and has this been a positive step towards providing access to your researchers?
It is, yes. Yeah, we do have our online, we do have a website, and I'll give it a quick plug. www.csu.edu.au/research/archives. And we have finding aids for all three of those types of records that I mentioned earlier, the university archives, the state records and the private records. We have finding aids for all of those three different categories on our website. At present, the actual individual accession or box lists actually aren't available on the website, but this is a project we're currently working on, and we'd like to think in the future that the lists we can make available for access reasons will actually be made available. And I think it has definitely been a positive step in providing access, because a lot of the inquiries that we get through the archives now that come to the search room are generated not so much through phone calls or visits, but through emails or people accessing our website. and wanting to actually find further information about a particular topic, and the web actually, or the website actually, gets us out to a lot bigger audience than it would previously.
Yes, so is your repository involved in any Web 2.0 initiatives? Do you use Twitter, for example?
We don't, funnily enough. Yes, I mean, we do use the Archives Outside blog, of course, but at this stage...
This could be your chance.
I know, at this stage we don't actually use Twitter or Facebook. The one, apart from the Archives Outside blog, the other resource we do actually use quite significantly is Flickr. We have our own photo stream on Flickr, where we put up a lot of images and photographs, and again, that's an ongoing initiative, and we hope to increase the amount of images and photographs available on Flickr. Probably the main reason why we haven't gone down the Twitter and Facebook route at the moment is that it's quite time-consuming, and staffing, we find, is a big issue, in that the staff we have got are normally doing other collection management issues or providing reference or access services. So it's not that we don't want to use these technologies, it's just that at the moment we sort of have got other priorities.
Yes, yeah. And fitting them into your usual work, yes.
Exactly.
We'll actually post all of your links for the end of this interview for the readers.
Great, that'd be fantastic.
Okay, back to offline. We've got, what types of outreach activities are you involved in?
As an entity, the staff of the CSU Regional Archives, we have a fortnightly newspaper piece in the Daily Advertiser entitled At the Archives. And what we try and do there is either promote an upcoming event that we're either hosting or being a part of, or we'll find an interesting article or photograph in the collection and try and put together the story behind that particular photo or something like that. And that's worked really well. We've been doing that since, I think, about the end of 2007. It again, is quite heavy in the staff resources. It uses up to generate an article every, and it's a full-page article too, so it does take quite a bit of time to actually generate that article. But it's definitely worth it, because we've had a lot of people come to us or come to the search room for the very first time and say to us that they didn't even know the archives existed, and they saw the article in the paper, and so they've come in. So if that keeps happening, if we can still get that usage, then it's still a very worthwhile activity. Other outreach activities involve speaking engagements. I normally do one of those at least once a month, and that may be to a community organisation or a club or a genealogical group. Also the occasional radio interview on local ABC radio in Wagga, and even presentations at conferences and seminars occasionally. But basically anything that generates some positive publicity about the archives is always handy.
Oh, that's great. Since we're celebrating 50 years at State Records this year, which we've mentioned once or twice in this interview already, we thought we'd ask, where do you see your repository in 50 years' time?
Now, I had to think long and hard about this, but, I mean, ideally, I initially thought, well, hopefully doing exactly the same things that we are now, but then I thought, well, that's not going to be likely at all, because in 50 years, technology is going to advance a long, long way. But primarily, my wish list would be a brand new spanking repository with no storage space issues or anything like that, which would be lovely. But I think, obviously, the majority of records in 50 years' time are going to be created in some sort of digital format. But having said that, we're still going to need to maintain and care for the custody of the records that we have now, and be that whatever format they're in, where it's documents, registers, maps, plans or photographs, they're all going to need a lot of care and help in the future to actually survive. So I think a lot of our time is going to be spent on conservation and preservation in the years to come.
Yes. Wayne Doubleday, thank you for your time.
Thank you.